Just 20 years ago, Britain's basking sharks were still being hunted around our coasts, and their numbers were dropping dramatically. Colin Speedy, now director of the Wildlife Trust's Basking Sharks Project, was one of a number of people trying to raise awareness of the dangers these creatures faced and the possibility that we may lose them forever. At the time, it was an uphill struggle, with little public awareness and even less sympathy. But after many years of campaigning, they finally managed to get the British government to protect basking sharks, alongside dolphins and whales. However, according to Colin Speedy, the battle wasn't over yet.
Eventually, the British government led two attempts to list the basking shark under Appendix 2 of the Convention for International Trade in Endangered Species, which was highly significant because it's been virtually impossible to get any fish onto any CITES listing at all. And we lost the first time round. And so the government took the unprecedented step of taking a second shot at it. And so for the first time, we actually saw two sharks get onto the CITES listings under Appendix 2, the whale shark and the basking shark, which only goes to show that if you're prepared to fight hard enough and for long enough and don't give up and don't accept that you're just going to be fobbed off, that you can actually make significant changes.
Having had that success, what does it now mean for the basking shark?
Well, I think it means a number of things. I think it means that the basking shark is now established as a key species for the UK. It is actually the biggest regular wild visitor to the British Isles. It's our elephant. It's our rhino. We don't have the Serengeti. We have the sea. The sea is our wild place. And if we don't protect some of the major species in there, then how will we ever protect the others? And not only that, it's almost impossible to imagine a sea without some of these creatures in it. I sometimes at sea on a perfect day, and we don't see a darn thing. And you've no idea how depressing that is, to think that we've actually emptied the seas to the stage where you don't go out and you don't see anything of any significance. The other thing is that having achieved the global conservation level of Appendix 2, we now have to fight to defend that. And if necessary, to fight to get the science right, to show that it is perhaps possible to protect the shark further, if we can actually show that the level of hunting which is occurring around the world is actually impacting on the shark populations. It's worth bearing in mind that sharks, of course, have lousy biology in terms of reproduction. They tend to be slow maturing. They tend to only produce small numbers of eggs or live young, and they are not particularly prolific in terms of regularity. Many of them take a lie off after having one pregnancy. So their reproductive biology works against them in terms of actually rebuilding stocks. And of course, most of them are occupying very, very unique ecological positions in the ocean chain. And you start taking sharks out of the equation, and you're going to get some very significant changes which may not be of benefit to anybody.
So what do you see as your next step in the whole shark conservation programme?
I think in terms of overall shark conservation, the most important thing is to dispel many of the myths about sharks, that they are cold-blooded, man-eating killers. Most shark injuries occur when somebody stands on a little shark somewhere or gets bitten by a dogfish that they've just caught on a rod and line. Very, very few people actually get attacked by sharks. But sharks are highly significant predators, some of the major sharks, and therefore they play an immensely important role in maintaining the health and well-being of the ocean food chain. One of the tragic things is that in the global economy, we put a value on everything. So we've even looked at that and looked at it from the point of view of, if you go to a place like the Seychelles, for example, where there's a tremendous amount of dive tourism, and most divers really, really want to see sharks above all. So the value to the local economy of one big reef shark, where divers come and they spend their money in the local economy, in hotels and bars and restaurants, dive boats, buying kit, getting their bottles filled, all those kind of things. It's been estimated that could be worth in excess of around $3,000 per shark to the local community, in perpetuity largely, because, you know, the shark's there and available each year to perform that function. The same shark killed once for its fins is probably worth $30. And that's a one-off payment. So the value of the shark alive is clearly far in excess of that where it's dead. You know, we need to try and win the arguments and make people realize that sharks are important. You know, 100 million, 120 million sharks being killed every year is a colossal number. And it simply can't go on. A lot of the latest statistics that come out in recent years have shown that in some cases like scalloped hammerheads, they've declined by over 90% in a large area of the North Atlantic. The least worst figure of all the different species that they looked at was around 50% for makos. So there are major, major problems going on out there. It's absolutely vital that we get the message across that sharks have an absolutely invaluable role to play in the oceans. Otherwise, you know, we stand every chance of seeing them disappear.
Does that mean, therefore, that things like going out and shark watching or going diving into sea sharks and so on is actually a good thing to encourage people to do?
Perhaps the key factor there, though, is that any ecotourist organisation or activity has to have a minimal impact. And one of the things that this project has directly led into is a thing called the WISE scheme. And the WISE scheme is the only training and accreditation program for marine ecotourism operators in the UK. And basically what it involves is those of us who've got a lot of field experience, it's an opportunity for us to pass on our expertise in telling people ways in which, if they are taking people out to observe animals, that they do it with absolutely minimal impact. So we have to give people the opportunity to see these animals to some degree, but at the same time, we want to make sure that it's done in a way which does not have a serious impact upon the animals themselves. Otherwise, it simply isn't ecotourism.
That's Colin Speedy from the Wildlife Trust's Basking Sharks project.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.